From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. Juneau's Montessori School in Douglas is closed after a staff member tested positive for COVID-19. According to an email to parents, all staff are getting tested and school officials are recommending that families get tested as well. The school could be closed for up to 2 weeks. And as of this afternoon, about 750 people have applied for housing and utility assistance through a new pandemic relief program. The application period opened 3 days ago. The nonprofit Catholic Community Services is handling applications. Executive Director Aaron Walker-Tolis says they were expecting a rush of people.
People lined up at City Hall before 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning, waiting for the city to print out paper applications when they were available at 8.
The Juneau Assembly committed $3 million in federal CARES Act money for the grants. Households can get up to $2,000 if they can show financial harm from the pandemic and have rent, mortgage, or utility expenses. She says her staff is taking an extra step to refer people who are likely ineligible to other resources in town. Walker-Tolis says the city is responsible for actually cutting the checks. She says her organization plans to send the first batch of 100 approved requests to the city on Monday. She's meeting with city officials next week to get a better idea of the turnaround time.
If you're really depending on this to pay your rent in November, it does take time to process applications. I'm sorry you won't get it by Sunday, November 1st. However, if you're in a tough situation, make sure you tell your landlord that you have applied for the assistance. And if you get that letter from us by email that says you've been approved, take that letter to your landlord so they know that the money is coming soon.
Walker-Tolis estimates there's enough money for about 2,000 Juneau households to get at least partial grants. She thinks there will be more demand than money available. And a few years after the Libertarian Party was founded in the lower 48, voters in Fairbanks elected the first Libertarian to any partisan office in the country. Most Alaskans register to vote as nonpartisan or undeclared, leaving a lot of room for that Libertarian seed to take root. But Alaska's last successful Libertarian candidate left office in 1986. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports on why the party of principle hasn't gotten much traction in Alaska.
The Libertarian Party's presidential nominee, Joe Jorgensen, made campaign stops across Alaska in September. On one day in Juneau, the candidate held a barbecue, played some hockey.
What's the connection between hockey and campaigning, and why this event?
Absolutely nothing, except that I've played hockey for years. I love playing hockey.
Met with a marijuana shop owner and weighed in on the shop's local planning commission permit for serving edibles.
Thank you, Dr. Jorgensen. In the time I've been on the planning commission, you are certainly the first presidential candidate to address this. Thank you for spending the time.
Jorgensen doesn't really have a shot at the White House. Her campaign has more practical goals, though.
Well, we want to grow the party. We want to grow the movement. Even if people don't join the party, just to find out that there is another option.
She also hoped to get her poll numbers up enough to participate in the presidential debates, but that didn't happen. The party embraces free markets, minimal government, and a live-and-let-live attitude on foreign policy and civil liberties, which feel like mainstream political planks in Alaska. And Dick Randolph, the nation's first libertarian lawmaker, his other claim to fame was leading the charge to repeal Alaska's income tax in 1980. But this year, the Libertarian Party is only backing two candidates for seats in the Alaska legislature. A third dropped out, but too late to have his name taken off the ballot in a Matanuska-Susitna Senate district. Oh, and he's also facing murder charges after a road rage incident. Nowadays, a little over 1% of Alaskans registered to vote are libertarians. They're fourth, after a party that wants Alaska to secede from the United States. So why isn't the Libertarian Party a bigger deal in Alaska? Paul Robbins Jr. handles communications for the party. He says the two-party system creates a practical dilemma for a lot of Alaskans who prefer a third party's politics. Third-party candidates are long shots, so their potential voters are torn between their ideals and trying to nudge competitive races.
So we're really looking forward to this ballot measure, too, and it's why we endorse it as a party.
Ballot measure 2 would make a lot of election changes, but one you might recognize is ranked choice voting. There'd be a single, it's party agnostic. The top four candidates would go on to the general election, where voters could rank their picks. If a voter's first pick doesn't win a majority of everyone's first pick votes, their lower ranked picks would still count.
Really opening it up so people can actually be with who they want to be with, vote for who they want to vote for, without worrying about that wasted vote fear.
If ballot measure 2 passes, Robbins thinks Libertarian membership will swell. He says they're planning a registration drive after the election. Robin says another institutional barrier is how difficult it is for a candidate that isn't a member of one of the state's three recognized political parties to get their name on the actual ballot. State election laws reserve spaces for the bigger parties' candidates. Candidates with smaller groups, like the Libertarians, have to collect signatures.
So when we recognize those barriers, we have to be a little bit realistic with ourselves and say, yes, we want to win the presidency. We want to show people what our leadership would look like in the country. But we also recognize that the POTUS campaign is extremely important for gaining ballot access across the United States.
POTUS, as in President of the United States. An hour of ice time to play hockey in Juneau won't win Joe Jorgensen in the White House, but it could help her party grow in Alaska and push it over the threshold in state law to earn official party status here. Then, Libertarian candidates in the next election would have an easier path onto ballots. It's unclear if Jorgensen won anyone over. As Daria Horn was gearing up, she says she came for...
mostly the hockey, but I'm happy to support anybody who's running for anything, you know? She's smart and she plays hockey. I like her.
Others, like David Teal, didn't know it was a campaign event.
I don't know. Is this political? Yeah, I didn't really know until I got here that it was a political thing.
When the hour is up, Zamboni clears the ice, and Jorgensen is off to her next campaign stop. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And the environmental group that captured executives of the Pebble Mine boasting about their sway over Alaska senators and governor have released new footage from those secretly recorded sessions. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports on a development with implications for the U.S. Senate race.
In one part of the tape, the head of Pebble's parent company, Northern Dynasty CEO Ron Thiessen, tells men posing as Chinese investors they don't have to worry about statements politicians make during the election season.
It's the kind of season that once it's over, everybody forgets what everybody promised to do. You aren't held to your promises.
Thiessen didn't specify whose promises aren't reliable in that August 17 video call, secretly recorded by the Environmental Investigation Agency. Thiessen spoke a few days before both Alaska senators, Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, issued statements agreeing with an Army press release that said Pebble could not have a permit for the project as submitted. Sullivan's August statement was the first time he had publicly stated any opposition to the mine. The environmental group recorded another call with Thiessen and then Pebble CEO Tom Collier on September 14. Collier told the pretend investors Sullivan was just hoping to ride it out to Election Day.
Well, right now, he's off in a corner being quiet. So I think that's our plan to work with him, is leave him alone and let him be quiet.
Once that recording was made public, Sullivan responded with a more forceful statement against Pebble. Sullivan challenger Al Gross has been playing the quiet in a corner tape in his campaign ads. He says Thiessen is telling the truth in the newly released recording.
Sullivan clearly plans to break his promise opposing the Pebble mine as soon as the election is over. And we can't trust Dan Sullivan to keep his word on this or anything else.
Sullivan campaign manager Matt Shukro says Gross attacks the incumbent to cover up his lack of vision and other deficits.
Senator Sullivan has been extremely clear. No Pebble mine, as he said over and over.
Danielle Grabiel, a team leader of the Environmental Investigation Agency, says the new releases are from the same recordings made in August and September. She says it's standard practice for the organization to release recordings in batches. She says EIA is trying to get more information out to influence the permitting decision, not the election.
We are a conservation organization, and we're not a political organization. And, it wasn't our decision to make politics part of this irreversible decision, but clearly the tapes show that politics have been at play.
Collier resigned from Pebble after the first tapes came out. Pebble's parent company apologized and called Collier's statements about leveraging his ties to political leaders clearly offensive. But Grabiel said Thiessen should be held to account, too.
It was striking to us that he remains at the helm of these companies pushing for this project. And Tom Collier, resigned, and it seems to us that he was a bit of a sacrificial lamb.
The new batch of recordings also reveal that Thiessen expects the state of Alaska and other Alaska entities to pay $1.5 billion to fund most of the project infrastructure. Pebble spokesman Mike Heatwall declined to comment, saying the company has already addressed the tapes.